Oftentimes when I see a news story and I wonder, could this be unconstitutional? I simply need to go back and figure out whether or not the authority that gave the rights to say that something could be banned, like TikTok, or in this case, the Federal Trade Commission ending non-compete agreements. Well, all I had to do was think to myself, I wonder when the Federal Trade Commission began. And it didn't take me long to realize it was the bastard president Woodrow Wilson. I can't stand this president. Over 100 years has gone by since his term, and the United States has never been the same because of him and his progressive acolytes destroying the Constitution for progress. Sit back, grab yourself a cup of coffee or whatever it is that you're into. You're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden. Let's get emboldened.
America Emboldened.
Greg, I feel emboldened.
You don't know the founding fathers. You don't know what they did. You don't know what they sacrificed. We have lost touch with the principles in the Constitution. Nobody's read the Declaration of Independence. You are voting for socialism, and you got what you voted for.
Welcome, bold Americans, to another episode of America Emboldened. As always, I'm your host, Greg Bolden. So glad that you're joining me once again to kick off this great Monday. All right, if you notice, if you listen to the show on the America Out Loud News Network, this show does not appear on the America Out Loud News Network. There was an issue with my Friday show, and so I'm running my Friday show on Monday. And you, the subscriber to the America Emboldened podcast page where I produce, are getting your own episode. And that's thanks to the great people on Patreon. So thank you to the Patreon family and supporters for making this happen. You help fund the publishing and hosting of all these episodes that I put out there. If you would like to join that community, you can go to patreon.com/AmericaEmboldened. Sign up with your email address. You can become a premium member for $5 a month and get great interviews and content first before everybody else. Now, last week, you might have heard about this story. The FTC has ruled that they were going to end non-compete clauses. Now, what is a non-compete? Well, I've always thought that non-competes are interesting because you could go work at a fast food company. And after working as a manager of, say, a Burger King, they would say, well, you have a non-compete. You cannot go work in any other fast food as a manager for the next 6 months to a year, depending on what it was that you signed in your non-compete. But in media, this is often used as well. If you're working at Fox or MSNBC or CBS, NBC, they'll put in these 6 months to a year, sometimes even longer, for some of their big-name talent. So you wouldn't see Tucker Carlson just get let go from Fox News one day, and the second day he's over on CNN. It was not allowed, and that was due to a non-compete agreement. And so on April 23rd of last week, a week ago, the United States Federal Trade Commission issued a final rule that prohibited the use of non-compete clauses with almost all American workers. And that rule will go into effect within 120 days of its publication of the effective date, which should probably be sometime around the publishing of today's show. Now, once that goes into play, there are some positives, there are some negatives. But I'm going to go back a little bit sooner. I want to find out, as I said at the top of the show, where did the Federal Trade Commission get its authority to state anything about non-compete agreements of a private corporation? Well, it comes from Section 5 of the FTC Act, and that empowers the FTC to prevent businesses that use unfair methods of competition. And so the FTC determined that non-compete clauses in employment contracts are the unfair method of competition and therefore a violation of Section 5. And so that is where they have in this finding that they feel that these companies can suppress wages They hinder innovation. They block entrepreneurs from being able to start their own businesses, and they limit worker mobility to be able to move from one company to another. And so they felt that this is all detrimental to both a competitive and thriving economy. I want to know, if you're able to suppress wages, doesn't that mean that things trickle on down in a way that if you're suppressing wages, maybe that means that the cost of goods for the consumer also gets suppressed? What happens when you got to start paying for all this competition in order to siphon off really good talent from other companies? Wouldn't that actually increase the cost for the common American? Well, we'll come back to that in a few when I get into my positives and negatives. When thinking about whether or not the FTC was constitutional, I didn't know. I had a feeling what the answer was going to be, but I searched out. I was like, you know, when did the FTC come into creation? It was created on September 26th, 1914. If you've listened to my show before, I often call Woodrow Wilson the worst president that ever happened to the United States. And this one, he signed the Federal Trade Commission Act into law. And so one of my problems against Woodrow Wilson, if you don't know some of this, he was a professor of political science who claimed that he knew what was best for everything. He was the president at the time of Princeton University, right? So, you know, it's the old college, you know, Yale, Princeton, Harvard. You know, you see the pipeline coming all the way from, well, anyway, you get the point. The pipeline always seems to produce these certain type of ideologues and what is best for the country. And so Wilson, long before he ever became the president of Princeton University, when he was in political science, he wanted to have basically a remaking for the American system of government, which was then emerging from progressive era ideals. When I had Michael Benarque on the show a few years ago, the late Michael Benarque, the stupendous Michael Benarque, can't put enough superlatives in front of his name. Anyway, I said to him, when did the ending of the Constitution really happen? And I was not surprised, but I was pleasantly in agreement, almost as a kindred spirit, where he said it was about 1920, which is during Woodrow Wilson that, at this point in time, that progressive era and that concept starting burgeoning all of the different states of government. It started kind of going through. And so I've often stated that from the gathering right before him, when you get into 1910, you got the Federal Reserve, right? And so President-elect Woodrow Wilson helped bring in the Federal Reserve. The Democrats had already taken control of both houses as that was happening, but we gave away the Federal Reserve Act in 1913, but signed Woodrow Wilson December 23rd at that point in time. We gave away our monetary policies, and we took it away, in a sense, from Congress in order to manage the purse. And we privatized it, and we took it outside the realm of the Constitution. This is a huge progressive concept, which allowed for unchecked, unbalanced, and a huge manipulation of our currency and our money. And so several years later, by April, I guess, what would I say the date was that that came in? 1914, another year later, after the Federal Reserve, we get the Federal Trade Commission. All right, so think about this. First, you seize the money. After you seize the money, you seize the companies that have the wages for the money. This isn't what a republic was supposed to be. And see, this has gone unchecked now for over 100 years, and I don't see us putting the genie back in the bottle at this point in time. The bastard Woodrow Wilson has screwed us. But when the FTC gets involved with a decision like this, I feel that this could be dangerous for all competition and what's going on with innovation. Let me explain why. Think about people like Steve Jobs. Now, Steve Jobs was an innovator in and of himself. But when he would hire people based upon, you know, signing maybe like a non-disclosure agreement and then a non-compete. Why? because his ideas that he was coming up with to work with his staff were revolutionary ideas, talking about the Macintosh computer, talking about the different fonts that he was going to use, eventually talking about the iTouch, which later became the iPhone, revolutionizing touchscreen technology that is now in the hands of almost every single two-year-old and up throughout the world. Now, Steve Jobs did this because of non-competes. Had that company had the ability for people just to get siphoned off by a company in China, Japan, Russia, wherever, and pay more money, they could have taken the ideas. A non-disclosure agreement is not going to hold up. You need the non-compete. They could have taken those ideas from Steve Jobs, which he needed others to help him innovate, and then we would have gotten a cheaper version of it, one with competition, but competition that was not from innovation and from the spirit of trying to put an awesome product out first, but rather everybody just hodgepodge putting stuff together and then no one pushing it forward. See, a non-compete agreement actually allows a company like, let's say, the Galaxy phones, right, and the iPhone. It allows them to see what the iPhone is doing and then say, we're going to take 10 steps forward once we figure this out. And then create an even better product, which Apple then has to say, well, we need to do better as well. If you just start hiring people from one company to the next, guess what you're going to get? You're going to get a bunch of iPhones, but one from Samsung, one from Sony, and they're not going to be much different than the other. See, innovation, I think, actually was developed from non-competes because you had to figure it out as you went. So let's figure out, like, what are some positives here of the government, what I think, intervening unconstitutionally? Some positive maybe in this, you know, you'll see workers that are working at a fast food restaurant that probably should never have had a non-compete anyway, removing that non-compete, and they can change their job now and find a job quickly in the field that they already are qualified to work in. So somebody could go from Burger King to Wendy's and not have to worry about their non-compete. Now, that increased worker mobility when you're working in the tech industry, making, you know, huge dollars, if you're valued in order to make these things, those non-competes are normally for the people that are contributing greatly to a company. They're normally compensated because of that as well. So maybe for those, it's a potential loss of trade secrets, right? So while in one spot, maybe we need non-competes, maybe in those other companies, we don't need non-competes. But is it the government's role and responsibility in order to demand this? Or is it the people to actually say, you know what, I'm not going to work for that company if they're going to put this in place? Again, why is it that we need government to save us from ourselves? And why do people cheerlead this? You know, that Woodrow Wilson acolyte personality of progressive era theorist who just want to surrender all of your rights in order to make everything else well. Well, one thing that non-competes could possibly do is improve competition as businesses are able to innovate, because if they can just hire an employee from another company, maybe they can now compete more intensely for talent. Maybe they can pay more money in order to make people go from one company to the next, and we get huge innovation based upon that. It's possible. It's also possible that disparity just makes sure that it all stays exactly the same. Now, think about some other things. Business formations. Now, they're saying that the FTC's action is supposed to lead to a 2.7% increase in new firm formation, which could mean 8,500 additional new businesses created each year. Now, that could mean millions of dollars or tens of millions of dollars put back into the economy. But again, is that not just going to be a parody of a bunch of companies that look identical because they have all the trade secrets? It's just a thought. You know, healthcare is something to kind of keep in mind. You know, when people have a non-compete and they can't go somewhere else, they may lose their healthcare and physician services go up. So perhaps this could help the healthcare industry in some respects. And then maybe possibly you would get more innovation, as maybe more people would get their own patents on things and it wouldn't belong to the companies, and they could shop for another company to use the patent that they created. That's a possibility. But then you got all the negatives, right? And so the negatives really go from right now we have a problem with our economy, right? We have inflation that's going up and up. Now, if you got to pay people in order to siphon them off, that's going to add to research and development. When research and development goes up, that means that the product, once it comes to the person, goes up in price as well. That means that the trade secrets, the intellectual property, the IPs the people own now are more vulnerable, and you could lose your intellectual property, which means what is the point in creating something to begin with? So I think you're going to see the way of more patents. You're going to see more lawsuits. You're going to see a cost of doing business go up and up, which means the cost of products goes up, which means more inflation as a result of what the FTC is doing, getting involved in something that they probably did not need to get involved in at this point in time. Now, others will say, well, that increases the competition for talent when a bunch of companies can hire somebody immediately after they're let go or try to get them through. And that will cause, you know, maybe Apple or Tesla or SpaceX to pay people more money in order to keep them. But what happens when somebody's like, you know what, you're making what, $200,000 over there? We'll give you $350,000, plus we'll pay for all of your expenses, a new home, get you relocated and everything. And now all of a sudden your company has to either match the $350,000 and make things sweet, or you're going to watch that employee walk out the door with all the secrets that they know as well, and you got nothing to protect yourself, right? So can you imagine what this is going to do to the economy as well? This is going to disrupt business models that people have relied on with non-competes for a long time in both the news agencies as well as within the creation, the tech industries. These non-competes, right, in the labor market, now we might see decreased job security for people, right? It's, okay, we can find somebody to do the job better than you. I think we're going to see a lot of fallout from this. And then, honestly, it's going to probably have some legal challenges to what the FTC Act is doing under Section 5 as well, whether or not that you have a right with a patent and with people's intellectual property to try to protect that. You know, is it really that hard to believe that people may want to protect their IPs? I don't think it is. If I created something, I'd want to protect it. And so screw you, Woodrow Wilson, because you started all of this. You sent us down this way of saying, you know what, a modern government, let's just get some more administrative experts. You know, let's hire some consultants. And they can figure out under a democratic rule whether or not that's constitutional or not. Look, we're not a democracy. Damn it. We are a republic meant to protect the few from the tyranny of the majority. And right now, the FTC Commission is acting as a majority towards a minority of businesses that are using these practices. And I think that that is wrong. Now, to round out today's show, I'd also like to point out the fact that the government at this point in time is about to ban TikTok. And TikTok has said, we're not going to do what you want. We're not going to sell off this company. And ByteDance, it's not selling the social media in order to come into compliance. We'll just ban the whole damn thing throughout the United States. Okay. Donnie the Don. I reposted it, but I've already thought it because this goes with this whole topic of today's show. Donnie had made a comment, said, can you show me where it is in the Constitution that Congress has the right to ban a service that is offered? Where is the constitutional authority for you not to be able to use something that another individual creates? Or a plant that grows on earth? Where can somebody say, you know what, you can no longer use marijuana? You can, I'm not a marijuana smoker, I'm just saying, like, it's something that grows on the earth, mushrooms, whatever. Where is it that they say that they have the authority to ban firearms, right? Where does this regulation come in where they can all of a sudden be oppressive to what you want to do? Well, I'll tell you where this all comes from. It starts with Woodrow Wilson. It starts back in 1913, when all of a sudden they say, you know what? Americans need protecting against themselves. You know, we need to make sure that we have a money system that the average person can't be involved in. We need a money system that only the government can control. And it's not even the government, because we're going to outsource this to the Federal Reserve. And then it continues with the question that we could possibly state the progressive era, right? So many people say, well, we regulate these things because no one has an absolute right. Really? Because I'm pretty sure the Constitution is actually not giving you any rights. It's protecting all of your absolute, inalienable, God-given, born rights. I think that's where that actually is supposed to do. I don't think it's supposed to be like, oh, but we're going to regulate this one. In fact, I think the most bastardized phrase in the Constitution that gets trampled by progressives constantly is shall not be infringed. And no, I'm not just talking about the Second Amendment. I'm talking about the Fourth Amendment, which also mentions not being infringed as well. I don't think the average progressive understands what the word infringed means, or a phrase shall not be. I think when they read that, they read shall be regulated by me because I know what's best for everybody else. Like, if you want to use TikTok, go right ahead, use TikTok. You should know, though, when you use TikTok, if you read the terms and agreements, that TikTok is monitoring every single thing that you type on your phone. If you like companies monitoring your keystrokes and everything that you type on your phone and send it back to Mother China, then by all means, go use TikTok if you're okay with that. You should also know that almost every single social media thing that you could put on your phone and most of the apps that you put on your phone are spyware in and of itself, because they ask for permission in order to track you. And they don't even give you permission on the phones nowadays to say no. It used to be, no, I choose not to. Now it says you can ask the app to politely not to track you. It doesn't say that it's going not to track you. It just says, well, you can ask it not to. You can say that you prefer not to. Well, I mean, I prefer people not to pee in my coffee too, but you know, that's not stopping the barista, if they're really having a shitty day, from peeing in my coffee. Ugh. Look, guys, take control of things for yourself. An oppressive government's going to continue to oppress you and continue to regulate you until you say, I've had enough. Hope I honored your time well today, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be back later this week with yet another episode. We'll be doing our lives, Bolden and Michael Live, every single night, Monday through Thursday, 9 p.m. Come join us at Real Greg Bolden, or you can find Michael's at Last Call Caravan. You can also listen to a show right on the America Out Loud News Network, Unleashed, the Political Hour, every single Monday at 7 p.m. We'll be doing a lot more shows here like this, I think. Just you and I, you know, we'll have a good time here outside the America Out Loud News Network. So make sure, if you've been used to seeing my show over there, that you hit the subscribe button on Spotify, iTunes, wherever you're finding this podcast. Send it over to friends, because really, honestly, that's the greatest compliment you can give me, is to share my show with somebody else. Because if you're sharing that, I think that the messages that I'm given are important. The information's important. They're learning lessons. If I'm learning, you're learning with me. And that means that we can help one another. You've been listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden. Be bold, America.